Exodus chapter 10 and verse number 21. I'll let you remain seated tonight. The Bible said, "And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But," I love that word in the Bible, "all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings." Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to be back in the house of the Lord. We thank you, Father, for your people. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your promises. We think about Miss Reba's family, Lord, burying her brother. Lord, the love that we saw a while ago in that funeral home. Lord, if ever there's a time that we need family, it's in these days that we live in. If ever there was a time, Lord, we need the family of God, it's in these days that we live in. Lord, they're dark days. Lord, sometimes that darkness can even be felt. And I pray, dear Father, that you would help us to realize, our Lord, that we are children of the light. And God, that you want to use us in these days. When you were on the earth, Lord, you said you were the light of the world. When you went away, you said ye are the light of the world. And Lord, you told us to let our light shine, that men may see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Lord, you're the only one that deserves glory. We pray, God, you'd get glory tonight in the service. Help us, we pray. Strengthen us, we pray. Help us to be a blessing to these precious people that are before us. We'll give you glory in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, amen. I began to think about something to go along with this morning's message. This morning we talked about there is the darkness of deceit, where the Bible said the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And who can know it? The darkness of being lost without the Lord in her heart and in her life. We talked about in Genesis how that God, when he made the light, he said there was darkness upon the face of the deep, and there was also a void. And every one of our lives, there's a void. I was thinking about, a while ago, I was watching the slide presentation in Bristol of that young man. And I thought about her children's churches. I thought about our Sunday school classes. I told Miss Eve, I thought about the teenagers. And how important, Brother Steve, these days are in their lives. You know, most folks have already kind of got their mind made up about things. But when people are young, they're moldable. They can be shaped by the Word of God and by the presence of other people. Every one of us remember people in our young lives. Sister Denita, I remember you speaking of Brother Jack and those years gone by, how that he didn't really maybe realize it, but God was using him to mold, and God was using him to guide, and God was using him in ways that he didn't even know about, probably. But the responsibility is so, so strong. This morning I made reference to the fact that we're not to compare ourselves with ourselves. When somebody says, "Well, I'm as good as old so-and-so," and that may be true, but the Bible said it's not wise to compare yourself. And I think really, even in our testimonies, if we're not careful, we hear somebody testify and we say, "Well, it didn't happen to me just like that." Well, there should be, back in math class, I don't remember a lot about math class. I remember well about algebra. I took it, and the teacher liked me, and I passed it with a C. I could not tell you one thing. I think I can spell algebra. A-L-G-E-B-R-A, is that right? I think I can spell it. But that's it. The little teacher, Miss McDaniel, she liked me, and I liked her. And anyway, I got through there with a C and got enough math to get out of high school. Amen. But there's something in math called a common denominator. And in the salvation experience, there should be some common denominators. A sinner, the Spirit of God, a Savior, the Scripture. Those are common denominators. We could be in different places, different ages, different times in our life. But thank God for the common denominators. And someday soon, I think God is going to let me preach on Jehovah Nissi. And I'm not trying to impress you. I just found it this week and looked at it. It means the Lord, our banner. He's a banner that we can come under. We have differences. And we have different ideas, you know what idea means. That come out of Kentucky probably. But anyway, we have different ideas about things. But anyway, Christ, Calvary, the Word of God, the resurrection. We have so much in common as God's people. We come under that banner. I begin to think about comparing themselves with themselves. We're not wise. And I begin to think about my life when I started hunting years ago. I went with this fella that actually knew this property like the back of his hand, and it was called Clinch Mountain Wildlife Area. He had been in there trout fishing for years. He had been in there with his daddy hunting. He had been in there hiking. He had been in there hunting ginseng. He had been in there doing things that were legal, and he had been in there doing things that wasn't legal, amen. But he knew the property like the back of his hand. So I'm just starting. I didn't know. I was not a woodsman, just starting out hunting. And when I say a woodsman, know your way around in the woods. And I'll tell you this right now. If I were to go to Texas or somewhere where it's flat and somebody take me somewhere in the woods, I would want a compass and know how to use it. Amen, or some kind of a GPS that would get me back to my vehicle. But early on, I learned something in the mountainous area. What I would do early on, and the mistake I would make, I would go into the woods and I would follow him, and he'd say, now we need to split up right here. I was fine as long as I was with him. And I'm going to tell you something else, God's people, we're fine as long as we're with him. But when we get separated, amen, what happened? I'd get separated, and I would mark this big oak tree. Now, all I need to do is come back to this big oak tree, then I'd go further, and then I'd mark me another big oak tree. How many of y'all know the woods are full of big oak trees? And I'd get down out of my stand about dark, and sometimes dark 30. We hunted till it got so dark you couldn't see the ground. And I'd get down, and I'm doing just fine. I've got my flashlight. I'm doing just fine. And, you know, I'd get back to that oak tree. And sometimes, you know, there would be something specific. Every once in a while, I may even take a log and stand it up against that oak tree. I've been known, I'm talking about even in recent years, when I'm in a new place, take two logs and make a V. You say, what do you do that for? Vinoy, go that way. Hey, see, you can make a V and an arrow out of it all at the same time. Amen. You don't find many V's laying in the woods. Amen. But anyway, there's a point that I'm making. And the point is this. There were times early on, I can remember two times specifically, that the only way that I was able to get out of the woods was get in a creek and keep walking. Because water will not run uphill. It'll take you off the mountain somewhere, amen? And so I'd just get in a creek, be broke out with sweat. You say, why would you break out with sweat? Number one, I was walking 15 to 20 times further than I needed to. And number two, I was nervous. I was in a place where they had bears. And I was in a place where you really didn't need to be out there and not know what you're doing. And so I'd take my flashlight many times and I'd say, okay, and I got peace about this now. And I was just making a circle and didn't know it. And the first time you come back to that same tree, you don't think too much, okay, now wait a minute. I need to go this way. But the third time you come back to the same tree,
it dawns on you that you're lost. And I'm going to tell you something. There's a darkness that can be felt. When it dawns on you that you don't have any idea where you are. We didn't have cell phones back in those days. We were too poor back in those days to even afford walkie-talkies, two-way radios. We started using them years later, and we just turn them on at the top of every hour, you know, to make sure everything was all right. But I'm telling you something. I learned this. You say, well, preacher, you had a flashlight. It all depends on how long you're lost. And I'm telling you, I learned a little bit later to carry batteries. And I learned a little bit later, Brother Steve, that it's very difficult to put batteries in something when you can't see what you're putting batteries in. And so I carried a little light in order to put batteries in the big light. Does that make any sense? You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, if you ever get in a place where there's darkness that can be felt, you'll never forget it. You'll never forget it. When God saved us, we knew that there was something wrong in our heart and in our life. And that glorious light of the gospel shined into our hearts. And thank God, not only is there darkness that can be felt, but there's a light that can be felt. I've said this for years. We're not saved by feelings. We're saved by faith. But I thank God for a salvation you can feel. Amen. The McCamey sang that song years ago about got me run over in Wise, Virginia, because the first time I heard it was on the radio. Do you know how it feels when your cold heart is melted and the tears ran down the moment you felt it? Do you know how it feels when you're troubled inside? There's that darkness that can be felt. To know just for you. In other words, there was a time when all of us believed Jesus died for the sin of the whole world. But there came a time, praise God, when you realized He did that for me. It might have been the only one He'd have done that for me. There's the darkness of deceit, darkness that can be felt. The Bible said, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Here's that word again. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. You're all the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Aren't you glad tonight that you can say you're a child of the King, children of the light? I want to say this tonight. This morning we touched on the darkness of deceit, that lost heart. That's where Paul was when he met Christ on the road to Damascus. He thought he was doing the right thing. He thought he was doing God a service. He wasn't serving the barroom crowd. He was serving the temple crowd. He was serving the priests of that day. And thought he was doing God a service by trying to stamp out Christianity in that day. But then that light came. And thank God for that light. Thank God it'll fill that void. The second thing I want to talk to you about in the message, and this is important. Now we're moving from the life of the unbeliever in the darkness where that unbeliever gets saved to the light and the darkness in the believer's life. Jesus said something like this. He said, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I'm going to ask you a question as a believer. Has there ever been a time in your life when it dawned on you that what I'm involved in is not right? Would you raise your hand? Have you ever had a time in your life when, listen, maybe it's not something you're involved in, but what just went through your mind is not right? Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever had a time in your life, maybe it was a season, where you were carrying something in your heart that you knew before God was not right. I'm telling you, there's another darkness that can be felt. Not only the darkness of deceit in the heart of the unbeliever, but there's the darkness of disobedience in the life of the believer. You say, Pastor, I just don't know about that. Well, listen. The word if in the Bible, listen to this if right here. The Bible said if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, then the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Well, let me ask you this. What if we don't walk in the light? What if we walk in disobedience? What if we're not following Him? I can tell you this right now. Whenever Brother Vinoy's doing the wrong thing, it ain't because he's following the Master. Whenever I got something in my heart that don't belong in there, it's not because that'll never be blamed on the Master. That's on me. That's on this stinking flesh that I live in. Amen? The darkness of disobedience. Listen to what the Word of God said. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord. But He loveth him that followeth after righteousness. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness and honor. John 8:12, Jesus spake to them, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Listen to 1 John. Let me take it in its context. 1 John 1:6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him. Now wait a minute. Let me ask you a question. Who's John talking to? In 1 John chapter 1, somebody tell me who John is talking to. Is he talking to the harlots and the prostitutes and the drunkards? No. He uses the word we. And he said this. He said, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now let me ask you this. Is there anybody in the building that can say you've never been out of fellowship with God? Praise God if you can say that. There are not too many people can say that. Watch what the Word of God said. The Bible said here, we lie and do not, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Watch this. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. So not only, beloved, is there a dark spot in the heart of the unbeliever, but I'm telling you there can be a dark place, darkness that can be felt in the life of the believer. I'll get to it in just a moment, give you an example. He said, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. I'm going to tell you something right now. When you walk around in, you know, the corner, and I can't remember, Miss Eve, who this happened with. This is one of our youngins. Them youngins, they're just like our mother. We come around the corner. They were not supposed to be in the cake, and they had been in the cake. You say, preacher, did you ask them? Yeah, we asked them. And you know what they said? No. But there was a problem. Chocolate icing from here to here. He said, we can deny it if we want to. But I'm going to tell you something right now. When we get caught, you say, Pastor, you mean somebody has to catch us? No, I'm telling you right now, if you're saved, there's someone called the Holy Ghost of the living God. And when He catches us, beloved, there's a darkness that can be felt. Let me say this to you. I believe to the point sometimes, Brother Steve, that folks get confused about salvation. It's so strong. The conviction of sin is so strong in the life of a believer. I believe sometimes that they think, well, I must not even be saved. Let me tell you something right now. We've preached this for years, and it's the truth. Listen to me carefully. Sinners don't get saved anytime they want to. I'm convinced of something. Not only does a sinner not get saved anytime they want to, I'm going to see if I can get an amen right here, but God's people don't get right anytime they want to. I believe the same Spirit of the living God that convicts us of being a sinner convicts us of our sin. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? I'm talking about a time in our life when God has to deal with us. And there's a darkness that can be felt. You say, Pastor, you said you'd give us an example. I can't think of a better one than this. There may be more in the Word of God. How many believes that Jonah knew God? How many believes he didn't have a flashlight in the belly of that whale? Jonah's rendition of "This Little Light of Mine" went like this. He was singing, "This little light of mine, I ain't gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I ain't gonna let it shine." You know where he ended up? I want to ask you a question. You think he could feel that darkness? God said, "I want you to go to Nineveh." We find out later in the book of Jonah why he didn't go. He knew God was a merciful God and that God might spare them and that God might save them and do something for them. And he didn't want God to do something for them. I will say this, shame on any believer that don't want God to do something for others. I don't care how heathenistic they are. We should want them to meet the Lord. Old Jonah was singing, "Hide it under a bushel." Yes! His rendition of "This Little Light of Mine" didn't go like ours. I'm telling you tonight, you can say whatever you want to. There have been times in your life when you hid it under a bushel. There's been times in your life where there wasn't enough evidence to be found within 30 miles of you to convict you of being a child of God. Especially when the heart is examined. Sometimes when we talk about sin, we automatically think about drunkenness. We automatically think about adultery. We automatically think about things like sodomy, about stealing, killing. But the Bible said, "To him that knoweth to do good, doeth it not, to him it's sin." If I'm jealous of another, I'm sinning. If I'm envious of another, I'm sinning. We studied this morning with our teenagers about Joseph and how that when he was confronted, he confronted his brethren and revealed himself to them. He had no ill will in his heart. No wonder it didn't matter where Joseph was. The Bible said, "And the Lord was with Joseph." And the Lord was with Joseph. And then after Jacob died, they still believed. They still believed, Brother Steve, he's going to get even with us. They didn't understand mercy. They didn't understand grace. Yet the Word of God, Jesus gave us a parable. Now I'm paraphrasing, where someone was forgiven a whole lot. And they turn around and somebody owes them a little bit. And they've got them by the throat trying to choke it out of them. And I'm telling you, it's sin. When we have something that grieves the Spirit of God, the Bible said, "Grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." I'm telling you tonight, there's the darkness of disobedience. Elizabeth Elliot, she told of her brother Thomas Howard, their mother let him play with paper bags she had saved if he put them away afterwards. One day she walked into the kitchen to find them strewn all over the floor. Tom was out at the piano with his father singing hymns. When confronted, he protested, "But Mom, I want to sing." His father stated, "It's no good singing God's praise if you're disobedient." We need to let that sink in tonight. "It's no good," he said, "son, it's no good singing God's praise. You can't be in here singing God's praise if you didn't want to do what you're supposed to do." in there. And by the way, let me just say this. I'm not being critical, but it's the truth. It's really hard to come in here and be what we're supposed to be if we're not what we're supposed to be all week out yonder. It's not just a one day a week thing. God wants us to know there is a darkness which may be felt. I believe with all of my heart, and I'm not going to preach this tonight, I'm just going to give it to you in closing. There's a darkness of deceit that can be felt. I remember the night I was saved. I remember it well. My pastor said to me when I stepped forward that night, he said, Rick, he had confidence in me. He said, are you sure the devil don't have you tripped up and deceived? I remember my response. I said, Brother Bud, I've been deceived for 27 years. That's why I have to stand here in this mess tonight. I felt like I was just standing in a mess. I said, would you get your Bible? And when he got his Bible, I remember this. I remember it well. My pastor was a lot like I am in his emotions. Some men preach and that their emotions don't take over like other men. And we're all different. And the quicker we learn that, the better. We're all different. But my pastor preached with emotion. And I remember looking over at him in the altar and he was weeping. And what he said was this, Rick, I'm glad you come, son. He said, son, there's nothing worth dying going to hell over. I'll never forget it. For the first time in my life, I had admitted that I was lost, in need of a Savior. And God had shined a light in my heart. There's the darkness of deceit, the darkness of disobedience. But then there's another darkness taught in the Bible, and it's the darkness of death. The Bible calls it outer darkness. In Jude chapter 1, the Bible said, the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, hath he reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of that great day. I was thinking about the young lady, one of them, the first one that was saved in Bible school, Kaylee. She had raised her hand earlier in an invitation. Now we're in memory work, doing memory work verses. And she got down to the verse where it said, in the wages of sin is death. And she broke down. Sister Quinn and Sister Helen said, would you like to talk to the pastor? She said, yes. 10-15 minutes later, she was assured in her heart that Christ lived in her life and had forgiven her of her sin. I explained to her that death in the Bible is not just physical death, but there's something called spiritual death, the second death. And the Word of God is teaching us about the darkness of death, darkness that can be felt. The Bible said the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 22:13, then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away. Cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 25:30 said, cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jude said, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. I go back to that time in the woods, Brother Steve, when it dawned on me. I had no idea where I was. I had no idea how to get out. It's a sinking feeling, I can tell you that right now. I can go back to times when there was no light. I remember in a prison one time where the thunderstorm knocked the lights out. Brother Richard takes care of these emergency lights, and that the emergency light popped on, and I said, thank God. It burned for about 30 seconds, and I reckon the batteries were bad in it, and it went out. I'm sitting in a room with 35 prisoners. It's not much bigger than the choir. There's 35 prisoners. I got a radio on my side and a button that's an emergency button. And I'm responsible for them. No light, darkness that could be felt. Just a little bit. Somebody had a Bic. You'd be surprised in darkness that you can feel that within in a room that size, what one little cigarette lighter will do. Only time in my life I remember saying, thank God I'm in the smoking section. Just a little bit of light. I mean, it flickered off the walls and it made all the difference in the world. But you know what? People without Jesus are going to a place where there's no water. You say, Pastor, this is the church. This is the cream of the crop. I know. Where's our burden? How do we pray for our children and our grandchildren? The Bible said in Revelation 16:10, and the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seed of the beast, and the kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain. Can you imagine? Honestly, I don't think we can. I don't think we can imagine how wonderful heaven is. And I don't think we can imagine how awful the torment of outer darkness is going to be. When Corrie ten Boom of The Hiding Place was a little girl in Holland, her first realization of death came after a visit to the home of a neighbor who had died. It impressed her that someday her parents would also die. Corrie's father comforted her with words of wisdom. Corrie, he said, when you and I go to Amsterdam, when do I give you your ticket? She said, why? Father, just before we get on the train. Exactly. Her father said, and our wise Father in heaven knows when we're going to need things too. Don't run out ahead of him, Corrie. When the time comes that some of us will have to die, you will look into your heart and find the strength that you need just in time. Coming down the road was Jesus, right on time. There's a darkness that can be felt. The darkness of deceit, the darkness of disobedience. I wish I could stand here and tell you that I got saved in 1987 and I know nothing of the darkness of disobedience. But I promise you this, I'd be lying through my teeth and be fearful that God would strike me dead if I stood here and told such a lie. He said, Pastor, how come you're still in the ministry? I guess the same word that got me in the family, grace. The grace of God. Not proud of a lot of things, but I'm proud of Him. Not ashamed of my Lord. Not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And I'll be honest with you. Brother Nick, when He gets a hold of me, I'm not ashamed to fall on my face and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. And I'll tell you this right now, if it ever comes between me and you, I won't have a problem at all asking you to forgive me. Because the Bible teaches in order for us to be right, we need to be right. Does the Bible teach that or not? So if you bring your gift to the altar And there you realize your brother had aught against you. He said, first, go be reconciled to your brother. Then bring a gift. Jesus likes this thing of God's people walking in obedience. How many's glad you come tonight? Thank you for coming. I'll say this tonight. If you get out of the path, you get out of God's will, you say, preacher, I'd be ashamed to admit that. Well, I understand. But I'm going to say this. There's a greater shame. That be not admitted. And going on, amen, in a darkness that can be felt. Let's stand tonight. Thank you for coming this way. Pray for us.